This is Carrie Steller from In the Girls Corner, and I am here speaking with Chelsea Connor for the first time in a very, very long time. How are you?
I am good. I am good. Busy as ever, but I'm good. How
That's
have you been?
a beautiful thing. It's same thing, really busy, which is really nice considering, the last couple of years what we had going on, and it's just nice to have a lot of things happening, and you have something huge happening. You have a fight coming up in June, LFA 160. How excited are you? It's been a while. I was gonna literally, I was looking, I'm like, oh, it's been a while, because I mean we were shut down for 2 years. So how has your journey been?
It's been crazy. My last fight was in 2018. So what that's like, I'm coming up on like a 5 year layoff. I kid in the mix of that. So I have a 3.5 year old now. So that was a big part of me stepping away and just making sure that I had time to just enjoy being a mom. Like that's my number one is being mom. I love fighting, but being a mom is like everything to me. So, I got that out of, I don't want to say out of my system. I'm always mom, but I got the baby phase out of my system, had my baby, got to, focus on him for, two and a half years. And now it's back to the grind. So, yeah.
That's amazing. I saw that you had a baby. I was gonna say congratulations. I am so happy for you. Big changes. Wow.
Yes.
It's I and that couldn't be a better change, especially with the transition that we had going on and everything that was so crazy, to at least have something positive come out of it. I mean, that's huge.
No, it definitely is. And that's what I have a nutritionist now that I've been working with. And when him and I started working together back in January of this year, he was like, "Look, like what are you doing? What's your plan?" And I'm like, "Listen, like I just want to get back in there and just have some fun. Like I know now where I left the sport and what level I was. Like honestly, when I was like, I need a break, screw this crap. I didn't realize how good I really was at that point. I was just like had never really fought anyone who had ever tested me. And then my last fight, I fought Cynthia Arceo, huge test, huge, like I was being told I wasn't ready for that fight. Hindsight 2020, I could have had a few more fights before I fought her. she was very good. But it still went all 25 minutes. I almost finished the fight several different times. I felt really good leaving that fight, but then just the mental side of like, oh my goodness, I didn't totally dominate, and like before that I was just dominating everyone. So like that was first, like, how do I deal with this? And then things got crazy with our gym and we're like, you know what, this is just the po political side of the sport kind of just like burnt me and my husband out. And we're like, okay, we just need a break from this. Let's go have a baby. Let's go enjoy life a little bit.
Love it.
And we did. And then it was just, I was starting to get itchy. And I'm like, fighting is who I am. So we were, at home doing mitts, we had our little at home gym. And then we had people start coming to our house to train. And we're like, okay, we gotta kind of do something. And it was getting to the point where I was getting in pretty good shape that I'm like, I still got a little bit left in me. So, my nutritionist was like, hey, don't worry about it. Like the layoff was perfect timing because of COVID, like no one
Yes.
else was doing anything either.
Literally
So, yeah.
couldn't have been a better timing for you. I was literally thinking that, like, the time frame, 2018 was your last fight. We got shut down in 2020. I'm like, wow.
It worked.
Time to get your mind right, get everything back, or at the very least, even better, and I was going to ask you how you're juggling being a mom and going back to fighting and training. Clearly you're doing very well with it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely so. I have a 12-year-old as well, so I'm already.
I thought you had another kid. I just wasn't sure. I'm like, but I thought you did.
Yes, yeah. So, she when I came back to MMA, because like I started in 2009, was at a totally different gym, had a few fights then, and then I took time away to have a kid, and so then when I came back to MMA, she was. Three, 2.5, 3. So like she just was in the gym with me all the time. She just came to practice, you know, super easy kid. She would just go play with toys in the corner, you know. My son is like a wild child. He is not like, oh, he's a little bit to deal with. So we're getting that figured out. But yeah, the whole mom life, juggling that and training. I'm kind of a pro at that. So that's all right with me.
That's amazing. And you know, you go from one aspect of a kid to the
yeah.
other. Say, you know, once you think you have like, you know, the easy baby, they're like, watch out. And the next one, I feel it.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what happened to us.
It's amazing. What are you doing besides being a mom? Besides being an MMA fighter and training and everything. What do you do for you?
Oh, so I run our gym, like, so I'm in charge of all that. So that's not really what I do for me. For me, heck, I don't know. I mean, this is fighting is kind of what I do for me, honestly. Like that's my outlet. That's my release. I don't know. I guess I just might be a little crazy. That's I'd like
You're
to do.
Not crazy. You're not crazy. That's become training at the very least has become my second. I have two. I play pool. I shoot pool competitively. And when I had hurt my shoulders years ago, when I started doing journalism, I couldn't really play pool and I couldn't really train or do anything. So I started doing journalism. Then I started playing pool again. And I was told I would never be able to like train and do anything like super physical. And you know, they got to kind of tell you that because it didn't dawn on me until like I was told by my trainer, they have to tell you, you can't do certain things, liability,
right?
You know, like if you don't get hurt, you know, they're fine. So,
yeah.
And I was convinced that I was going to be like, you know, not be able to do anything. And my shoulders were frozen. And now I'm like in the best shape of my life. So I definitely understand that.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Good for you.
It's great. I love going to the gym. Like people are like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to go work to go train a little bit. And they're like, it's a Friday night. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's so you get it. Yeah.
I really do. And we have a really good group of girlfriends and, you know, it's really nice. I mean, I love training with everybody, the guys too. So it doesn't really bother me, but it's nice to have, they have a nice community of chicks there.
Yeah. That's awesome. That is super awesome.
Do you guys own your own gym?
We do, yes.
It's new because you were at a different gym. I remember a lot of that.
Yes.
When did you start your gym? When did you open up?
So we had before we closed, my husband had his gym, which was Fightopia.
Okay.
He had created back in 2008. And it had moved kind of place to place. And then that's how him and I met, was through the gym. Fightopia. He was kind of running it, not really so much as a business. Like it was like a fight club type gym. You know, you just like came in to learn how to fight.
Yep.
You know, some people paid, some people didn't. It was more of a family.
Yep.
You know, so once, you know, 2018, my last fight hits, we have some just like bad apples in the gym. Like it got to where it was just like, this is. We're paying the bills. Like, what are we doing here? Any money? Like, let's just close this place down. So we closed it. We sold most of our stuff. And then, like I said, we kind of did our own thing at our house, you know? And then it kept on growing and growing. So we're like, okay, we kind of need a space. So we got this location here and I decided I was going to take over the business side. My husband, not that he's not, he runs his own tattoo shop. So he's crazy busy managing, tattooing, doing all that. So I was like, I'll take charge of this, you know, and I'll make sure people are actually paying dues. There's actually a structure of like, hey, this is how this works, and you just can't train. So that's been how all this has went. And then this little space, it's only 12, we only have 1200 square feet of mats. So we really weren't planning on making anything like big. Like when we first started, it was just supposed to be like very, very close knit, limited class space, class sizes, you know, like we just wanted enough. We're not trying to get rich off of this. We just wanted enough to pay the bills. And that was it, you know, like we just didn't want to have to be able to pay, have to pay the bills. And I wanted a place for myself to train. So we, at this location, it's literally right next to the tattoo shop. So it's super convenient for our kids, for everything, you know. And now we're like literally busting at the seams. Everyone's wanting to sign up. Like it's a great problem to have, but we've outgrown. So now we're working with another company who has some space that'll be ready January 1st. And it's going to be 5,000 square foot, new gym, like everything's going to be brand new in it. New cage, new boxing ring, all new mats. Like it's going to be crazy awesome. So yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
You don't need any other hobbies with all of that going on. Like how much did you have?
Yeah.
I mean, I see you didn't have any tattoos the last time we spoke. So this is very cool. Like that's my thing also is I'm heavily into tattoos. I'm getting one lasered off to get covered up.
Oh, are you? Nice. Yeah. I'm totally covered now.
Wow.
Yep. I know. That's what I'm like. I got to get some update. I had a film crew in here on Tuesday, and then I have another photo shoot coming up on the 3rd, I think, of June. So I'm like, I need some updated pictures, you know, like people are gonna see the tattoos and be like, that's not an updated picture.
I so, love it. I am so excited that they're beautiful.
Thank you.
You know what, I tell people, make sure you get great work the first time because you really don't want to have to get it removed. It's not fun, but like the space from here to where I'm not getting it removed, the space in between is pretty much almost a blank slate.
So it's really working. That's awesome.
I went for 2 years.
Oh my gosh. I've heard that's like super painful.
You know what? It doesn't tickle, but the time that it takes is such a short period of time. So like this whole space, 5 minutes.
Holy smokes. Wow.
In and out. So, you know, in retrospect, it's not as bad versus how long it takes, but I deal well with pain anyway. So for me, I'm like, everybody's like, oh, it's bad. I'm like, not that bad.
It's 5 minutes. Suck it up, right?
That's really what I said. I'm like, you know what? If I have to go, so I went maybe like, 10 sessions in 2 years because you can't go all the time. You have to go 3 months in between.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to space it out because it like gradually draws the ink out. It doesn't happen right away. People that think it does, they're crazy.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
It makes it look erased right away, but then like it pops right through. Like it is once that like chalkiness or, well, you're not really supposed to get that, but once the film that it gets disappeared, you see, you know, a little color pokes through, but over time it lightens even more and more.
Nice. That's awesome. So that'll be super easy to cover up once.
Oh yeah. At this point, I think I was talking to my tattooer who I haven't seen in years.
So, yeah.
Like I'm starting to see people I haven't seen in forever. So I haven't seen her in like 10 years. And she was like, so what's new? I'm like, well, actually I have a tattoo that I need you to cover that I got laser. And she's like, if you think it's coverable at this point, I'm like, if you can't cover it, I don't know who can.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's pretty light. And she's like a color packer. She's really good. Like that's what she was known for, color bombing. So it'll.
Heck yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. Yours are like so packed with color. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You have like a lot of different, you have some Asian stuff in there. Very cool.
So I learned my lesson with telling my husband, like, hey, this is the specific tattoo that I want. So I have a chest piece that I have two butterflies on my hips that I got when I was like 16 years old. And I wanted it to match S piece. Like, I thought they were adorable and they're cute, but like, they could have been way better had I just let him do, you know, like the artist. If I would have just listened to the artist, it would have turned out way better. So yeah, the chess piece is fine, but it could have been way prettier. And so since then, he gave me a whole bunch of crap about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not picking out another tattoo. Like, you just do whatever you want.
Yep. I literally told her, I'm like, I'm not going to take the pen out of your hands. I never have. Just do what you want.
Yep.
They give you an idea or two and you run.
Yeah.
And she's like,
yeah, that's what I did with him. None of these were my ideas that he did over here. Like, he put this whole thing together. I ideas of like, hey, what I wanted. But for the most part, he just ran with it and did.
I think they're fucking fantastic. And yeah. I like that. I mean, you know what? You got to trust your artist. So like, you can't say you don't trust your husband. That's amazing. That's, I mean, really, who better a person to be tattooing you and you giving them the creative opportunity? Yeah. Because, you know, they call it giving them your arm or giving them your leg or your back. And I've done that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a better way for them to come out. And I mean, how do you train with healing with tattoos? Because a lot of people do it differently. Some people use the Tecoderm, which a lot of people aren't into. I guess it just depends on, you know, I mean, it's new skin. They've been using it for years. So
right.
A couple times.
Yeah, training is honestly why I'm not like covered head to toe. Because it does, like, I won't get tattooed when I'm in a fight camp or anything like that. Like, I get really sore. It's not really the tattoo process that really bothers me. It's the healing process that I'm like, ow, this hurts. You know, like, I don't like the healing process. So I definitely don't want to have a fresh tattoo trying to grapple or, you know, have some gloves on there. Like, that really sucks. So typically I just don't get tattooed when I know I'm going to have like picked up training. But I have trained after being tattooed. Like, the arms aren't as bad as like other areas. I was having a lot of work done on my back, and that was real tough trying to train when my back was being tattooed. And at that time we were using just regular bandage with tape, so like, it wasn't trapping. But my husband now uses that Sanoderm that like seals it. It creates a seal. Oh my gosh, that's love. Really like
it's,
and it helps.
Tecoderm, I think, was the first one, and then they came out with Sanoderm, and they have a couple companies. But you know what? That stuff is amazing. You put that on, and it like has all the little healing properties that it needs to. It's like 2 weeks into the process when you take it off, or when
That's definitely the game. That helps a lot.
Because you don't get the abrasiveness of like, you know, anything. Yeah. Up against you, so you really can train being sore if you get swollen, and I do sometimes.
Yes, yeah, same.
So I've learned to put a little ice, like a rag, and then a little, yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah, I started doing that with the laser because I would come home, my arm would be beat to shit, and it really wasn't like it didn't burn. It was just the laser going through your skin. It doesn't. Right. If you get beat up, you're going to be swollen and a little sore. So I would just throw, you know, like a rag on and ice.
Oh, that's so smart. Duh. Why didn't I think of that? That's so intelligent.
Any swelling you get, like I had poison ivy like a week ago, and the first thing I did was put ice on it because it's
swollen. Ice is so amazing.
It's so important. Recovery is probably the most important thing. And, you know, being with all the injuries I had, you know, having the accident I had, and now that I train, that's the most important part of my training is recovery. I go for a massage once every other week.
Oh, that's so good. Yep.
Definitely.
The biggest thing that I took away from taking the little break that I did was the recovery aspect, because I've always trained super hard. But I never, back in the day, I just never took time to recover. I'm like, whatever, it's going to be okay. Like, now I'm 32, like, I can't get away with just being like, I'm not going to ice that. Like, if I get a bump, I'm icing that shit, because like, I won't be able to use that tomorrow if I don't, you know? So Yeah, age definitely teaches you how important ice is and recovery.
I'm like, God, like you do, people do not understand once you've hit a certain age. I'm 44. So for me,
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
and it's crazy because like I don't want to stop moving because I did that for years and that's what screwed my shoulders up even more was not even moving them. So it was like they were frozen. Now I'm like, if I don't stop moving, at the very least, I won't feel like crap. So, oh my God, I've gotten hurt like just stupid little things over the last two and a half years of training. Like this arm, when I got in the accident, it like came out this way. But like training, there's something that, because when I had fallen down the stairs and I remember seeing like a big like mark back there when it first
Yeah.
happened. And now like something happens in the back here, exactly where that injury was like from the stair. So I think like maybe it slipped something out, a rib, because once in a while, something will get funky back there and like it'll flip.
Huh.
Oh, it's the weirdest thing ever, and it sucks so bad. But I'm
Oh.
not gonna stop training, so I just usually will just like one arm it.
Yeah.
One arm
Start.
it.
Yeah, go see a chiropractor. You'll be good.
And get like rolling with one arm, like
Oh.
made my gait like exponentially better. I said, I'm like, wait till I have two.
That's
Like,
so
well,
yeah. Yeah,
and
no.
it's important. Like I have a friend that got injured and he just literally stopped training for the past, I can't even tell you how many weeks. And I'm like, why would you? You're going to go
Yeah.
into physical therapy. They're going to train you lightly there. Why
Yeah.
not keep just doing something so your body's mobile?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we tell all of our fighters, all of our athletes. Like, even if you're injured, show up to practice. Even if you like are so injured you can't do anything right that second, you can still sit there and learn. Like, watch people do the drills, watching people go live. Like, I know I've learned from like the injuries that I've had sitting on the sidelines, man. It elevates my game so much more when I'm injured and I can't train. I'm watching like a hawk, and then it's helping me, like, wow, okay, I can do that, you know, things like that. So it's so important, even when you're injured, to be in the gym doing something.
Absolutely, I couldn't even agree more because I see it all the time. Like, people will just sit on the sidelines. I've done it. If I'm having like a weird day or I'm tired, I'm not going to push myself where I'm going to get hurt. So I'll just sit on the sidelines.
Exactly. Yeah. And
It's
you,
such an interesting
more
sport.
that do what?
It's such an interesting sport. It really, really is the relationships that you gain. Even like, I mean, my friends laugh that aren't really into MMA or don't train, and they're like, it's weird you guys all hug after and stuff. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's not like everything else. Like, there's such a respect level because we all know what you're going through, and that's why I started training in general, because being a
Right.
journalist and not training is kind of silly. You get a bunch of people that are sitting there talking shit on their couches that have no idea what's going on. Or no idea what it's like, and I trained a little bit, but now I train a lot bit and I see what you guys go through. It's tough.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit. Okay. And that's so cool. Like, I love when I get to do interviews with people, you know, that have actually done it. You know, like, it makes it so much easier. Photographers, you know, having someone that, like, whether it's just like their boyfriend or someone, they know someone that's in the sport, like, it helps them. Oh, the kitty.
interviews.
It helps so much, like, just make the whole situation way more comfortable, because like, we can relate on what we're talking about. And it's not like you're asking me these questions, reading from a prompt and not knowing what the heck I'm talking about. You know, it
Oh
just
yeah,
makes
it's so true. And I mean, I see it all the time. I actually had somebody sit and watch one of my live interviews. It was a while back. And he said, he's like, you don't use any notes? I'm like, no. No,
Yeah.
I generally, most of the people that I'm interviewing, I'm friendly with,
Right.
and I have all your social media. So it's easy to see, and if
Yep.
you're not looking up on people that you're going to like interview your subjects, then you're not doing your job right.
No, and it just makes it so awkward for the athlete, you
Oh,
know, because like, I'm a very, like, I'm a pleaser, so like, even if I don't know you, like, I want to be nice and like do what you're asking me to do. But like, if you're awkward with this, like, I don't know how much, like, we're going to be able to vibe together. So
see them pulling teeth.
Yeah.
It's like such a weird, and I've seen so many bizarre interviews where I'm like, oh, it just, that doesn't translate on camera. But again, right. It's people that don't know, fighters are regular people. So you don't have to always ask the typical fight questions because everybody's been asked that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep. No, you're right on.
And Chelsea, like, you're going to fucking sit there and tell me I'm going to get in the cage and I'm going to run again. Who the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I would love to say, you know, what do you want to do after this fight? But I think, in my opinion, this should be the fight that you're focused on. Not, you know, oh, what am I going to do next? Or who am I going to, you know, fight next? But I mean, the next step was fighting for a new promotion because you fought for King of the Beast.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure with what, because King of the Cage kind of, after with the COVID stuff, like they kind of, I thought was shutting down. Now they're doing some shows out in the West Coast. So when I signed with them, they were bringing stuff over to like the East Coast, you know, closer to Ohio. So I thought that's where, you know, I'd be able to fight more there than flying halfway across the country, you know, things like that, to be able to get fights. But then after COVID, like I said, they've been, I guess they're throwing shows again, and we've been in contact with them briefly. But the communication isn't like great. So I'm not real sure what's going on with King of the Cage. I know my husband reached out to him, sent him an email, and we got a pass because there's still a contract there with Cage. So they gave me the approval to fight this fight. So I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen after this fight, you know, because,
I mean, right now, the only thing that stinks about Invicta is that they are predominantly in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's like, how are you going to get your fans to come there? It's so tough. And I've been waiting for them to come to the East Coast, even in between like Ohio and New York, Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That would be great. I would go in a second. You know what I mean? Like, so many of my friends are in your area that fight. So it's like, I would love to see them even just go just to different places, because there is a big market for it. There's a big everything with mixed martial arts, especially women's. You know, when I went to Invicta for, what was it, around this time last year, maybe even April or May, it was so funny. It was almost so many. It was like six girls from New York that I knew.
That's so cool. Heck yeah.
Just the East Coast that I know. I was like, oh, it was a crazy heavy New York. And I'm like, why are they not doing this?
I know. Because they do. They have a lot of East Coast fighters signed with them. So why wouldn't they?
I mean,
I don't know. I know. What'd you say?
Ridiculous amount of females on the East Coast they have, all over the East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would make sense for them to bring something closer. I know with Ohio, from what I've been told from like other promotions, Ohio our athletic commission just changed in January. So I'm hoping there's some changes and they make it a little bit easier for promoters to throw shows. But I know Ohio is kind of one of those states that just are kind of pains in the butts to deal with. So my fingers are crossed that this new, the new commission is going to get their stuff together and make it good here in Ohio. And everyone will want to come to Ohio because I can sell out. Like, that's what I keep on telling all these promotions. Like, give me a venue here in Ohio, I will sell. Like, you won't lose money coming here because I'm all here in Ohio, you know, like, but you know, if they have to jump through hoops to deal with the athletic commission, I get it. You know, like, I wouldn't want to do that either. So
no, it makes it very hard. I mean, I remember when COVID started, in general, things were hard at that point. It was like, where do you have a show? Where can you do anything? There was not even a lot going on. It was crazy. So I can imagine just in general, generally having a problem being able to get a sanctioned show in an area that's you know, gray areas. It's such an interesting thing. Yeah, because you don't hear a lot of any kind of shows happening over there in Ohio. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. We are actually getting ready to do our, it's an amateur show. And this is what was crazy about the whole offer to fight for LFA and who I'm fighting. That was not the game plan originally. So my husband and his business partner are getting ready to throw their own MMA show here in Miami County in Ohio. So it's like in our backyard, basically. And I was going to headline the show. They did it so it could be a pro-am MMA show. They would have made so much more money had it just been like a boxing event or something. But it was set that like that's where I was going to fight at. So we're in the works. I start selling all these tickets, selling my shirts, and then we get this fight offer. And it's like with the name that I'm fighting, I can't pass it up. You know, like this is the most ideal but unideal fight ever for me, you know, like I was gonna fight here in front of my hometown, you know, that I've not gotten to fight for in 8 years. Like, it broke my heart taking the fight for LFA because I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm worried about, you know, my teammates and things like that, which it's actually gonna work out really well. Me fighting the night before, and not taking away their shine. Yeah. You know, like I'm gonna get to go do what I do. And then the night's gonna be all about them, you know. Yeah. So like super pumped and excited that they're gonna get to do that. And yeah, it'll be awesome. It's all working out okay, but it definitely was not originally what we set out for it to be. So, but yeah.
It to be. I mean, this is a big fight, a big stage for your first fight back in 5 years. I mean, I don't think it could have worked out any better. And then maybe the next show like that, you know, in your hometown and make it happen that way. But this is huge for you. And I wouldn't pass up any opportunity that was thrown my way like that. So I think that you took the right option and the right opportunity at the right time. You look fantastic. You look so ready. And we're like 3 weeks out.
Yeah. I think it's, right at three and a half weeks. So today's Thursday. So we're 3 weeks.
Yeah. So you must be winding down with camp, getting, you know, just all the I's dotted and T's crossed and last minute stuff.
Yep. We have, about another hard week, one and a half more hard weeks of like really picked up training. I got some lovely scrapes and battle scars all over my face right now. So I tried to throw makeup on them and I'm like, oh, hopefully you don't see it, but
you did a fantastic job. And I know we are looking so forward to seeing you fight. It's June 16th, correct?
Yes. Yep, okay. June.
LFA 160. Is there anybody you want to thank, sponsors, training partners? If you do, the floor is yours. And anything I haven't asked, if you want to say that too.
Okay, so I'm working on some sponsors right now. So if anyone's interested in sponsoring me, right now is like the time to reach out. I have a marketing company that I'm working with. They're going to be taking over my sponsorships for my next fight. But for this fight, they were like, you go ahead, do your thing. Cause I'm like, listen, I don't want to turn down anyone's money. Like I don't care how much you guys want to give, like give whatever. You got a logo that you want thrown on my banner. Like I'm making a banner anyways. So I'll throw you on my banner, you know, like you just, you know, basically donation. So that's how I'm kind of running my sponsorships right now. I have right now Saucy Sal's. They've always sponsored me. They've been awesome from the beginning. I believe the Hideout Carryout Restaurant in Jackson Center, they've always been someone that's always sponsored me. So shout out to them. Then I have Shore Chiropractic, Shore Wrestling Club. They've always been amazing. They give me so many freebies and just are awesome, awesome, awesome people over there out of St. Paris, Ohio. And then I have the tattoo shop, Endless Ink Tattooing in Piqua. And then obviously our gym here, Smileback Training Center, McFit, that's my strength and conditioning coach. And I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that I haven't mentioned sponsorship wise. Danielle Brown, that's the photographer that I'm working with. And her husband actually has a distillery, and I can't think of what the name of the distillery is yet, but they're both of their businesses are a sponsor of mine as well. And then there was one more that I was gonna say, and I can't, it's facing, it left my mind. So we're gonna leave that one out. but yeah, that's the ones that right now are coming to my mind. And as far as shout outs for like training partners, huge shout out to Emily Atkins. That's my little prodigy. I shouldn't say little, she's my size. But she's 20, I think she's 20 years old. She's still a baby, and she has just come in to our gym, started out kind of just wanting to try it out. She has a little bit of wrestling background. She wrestled in high school, but wasn't like, you know, like, this might be cool. Wasn't like, hey, didn't come in like, I want to be a fighter or anything. She just kind of came in and bought into our system and has been literally like my little shadow. And it's been absolutely amazing getting to work with her. She made her amateur debut in MMA this past weekend, got a first round knockout. And the first minute made my job so easy, especially with my throat being as weird as it was. Still lost my voice just off of excitement, but yeah, so major shout out to her. My other training partners who have been super awesome, it's, you know, everyone here that trains with Fightopia, they've all been a huge asset. So yeah, my coaches, sorry.
Oh no. Yep, finish up.
my head coach Johnny Connor, who will actually be this fight will be the first time that he's ever been in my corner for an MMA fight. So that's going to be a huge, very unfair advantage, whoever gets to fight me with him in my corner. So he's going to be cornering me. And then my other two cornermen who have always followed me wherever I go, Chris Mick and Bob Moore, they'll be cornering me. So super big shout outs to them. They're sacrificing so much. The one, his daughter's birthday is the day before the fight. And then the other one, Bob Moore, bless his heart, and his amazing wife, their anniversary is literally on the day of my fight. And she's like, hey, I know you gotta be there. So, they're just awesome people. My strength and conditioning coach, Mick Roberts, he's everyone that trains at our gym knows him. He's who puts us through all the torture, getting us ready to be in the best shape that we can be when we get into the cage to compete. So yeah, that's kind of, I think that's everyone that I can think of right now.
So funny, because I always forget 1,000,010 people when it's like I was like, wait a second.
I know.
I always forget it. It's so funny.
And I told myself, I was like making little notes. I'm like, I'm going to have notes to remember who I'm going to shout out. And yeah, here we are every time.
Else. You did great. And where can everybody follow you on social media, especially if they want to sponsor you? People can look out for you over there.
Yes. So I have a Facebook page. That's my fan page. That's Chelsea Connor MMA. And then also that's the same exact thing that I use on Instagram, which is the Chelsea_Connor_MMA. So I should be, I'm working with a marketing team right now, Vantech Marketing. So they're fixing all my social media mess that I've created, because I'm like the worst at anything electronical, I will mess up. So they're having a whole bunch of fun with that. but they're getting me right. So you guys, it should be hopefully easier in the very near future to figure out all my social media stuff and how I need to be presenting it to everyone.
Amazing, Chelsea. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to interview with me. And I look forward to watching your fight at LFA 160, June 16th. And see you in the winning circle with your hands raised.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, anytime. And we got to interview again after and about your husband's fight card and see how that all went.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Fantastic. All right. Again, thank you so much. And I look forward to catching up with you again in the near future. Everybody give Chelsea a follow. And if you want to sponsor her, you can hit her up on Instagram or Facebook.